6 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific. You can tweet me or find me on Instagram, both at PatBoyle44. We start to look ahead this Sunday, and don't worry, we will give you an in-depth breakdown, as I always do, ahead of the Thursday night football game, which is coming up later tonight in about 16 hours between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos. But starting to look ahead towards Sunday in what is going to be a massive weekend in the NFL. Week 10 not only gives us four tremendous matchups where both teams will be above 500. That includes the Patriots at the Buccaneers, the Rams at the Niners in a spicy NFC West battle and a rematch of a couple of Thursday nights ago. Sunday night football, the Steelers and the Chargers, and then Monday night football, the Eagles and the Packers. All four of those games, both teams playing are above 500. We've also got some great divisional battles this weekend. Well, I don't know if you would call it great, but the Bills and the Dolphins. Buffalo a chance to drive the stake further into Mike McDaniel's chest if they can embarrass Miami. You got the Saints and the Panthers, which could set up to be a big-time trap game for Carolina. I hope they avoid the trap, because before the season started, I picked the Panthers as my surprise team in the NFC. I thought they'd win the NFC South, so I sure as hell hope they don't give Tyler Shuck his first career win. But that's a test to see, all right, are the Panthers a team that can actually make the playoffs? They lose to the Saints, forget about it. Cardinals and the Seahawks, Jacoby Brissett going up against the red-hot Sam Darnold-led Seahawks. That'll be a good one. Cardinals season is on the line in that one. And then in the AFC South at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, there's another team with their season on the line Sunday, and that is the 3-5 Houston Texans welcoming in Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5-3, a rematch from Week 3. Where the Jags, their defense, picked off C.J. Stroud twice, including on the final drive, to dump the Texans to an 0-3 start. Houston's been trying to recover and dig themselves out of that hole ever since. If they want any shot of making the playoffs, let alone trying to catch the Colts for the AFC South, this is a must-win game for the Texans. Their season is on the line. They lose this to get to 3-6, they're toast. And wouldn't you know it, they won't even have their starting quarterback for this game. C.J. Stroud already ruled out for the game with the concussion that knocked him out of the game in the first half back on Sunday against the Denver Broncos. It is Davis Mills who's going to get the start for Houston in his fifth year with the Texans. Davis Mills, member, was the starter or became the starter in each of the first two seasons and threw about as many interceptions as he did touchdowns. And now the last 3 years, he's been C.J. Stroud's backup. Davis Mills came into the game against Denver, and he played okay. Didn't turn the ball over. Threw for 137 yards, and then the Texans' defense, which is so damn good, all of a sudden, they collapsed. They let the Broncos cook them for 11 unanswered points in the fourth quarter. And so Davis Mills gets his first start of the year. He made one start last year, week 18, when the division was already wrapped up for the Texans, when he played against the Tennessee Titans. This is a massive, massive game for Davis Mills. And look, I'm not a big believer in the Jaguars. I think that they're a mediocre team. They've shown it lately. They had lost two in a row after their big win over the Chiefs. And then, coming off the bye week, they had 6 points through the first three quarters and had to survive the Raiders in overtime thanks to a two-point stop on the final play of the game. So, this spread right now is aptly put at just 1.5 points. With the Jacksonville Jaguars being a slight favorite in this one, this game could truly go either way. And don't be surprised. Here's my prediction. I can't with good faith and with a lot of confidence pick an actual winner here, because, again, I don't trust either team. I don't trust Davis Mills. Don't be surprised, though, if Trevor Lawrence gifts the Houston Texans this win on Sunday. Just like C.J. Stroud gifted the Jaguars the win back in Week 3 with a couple of back-breaking interceptions, don't be surprised if Trevor Lawrence returns the favor on Sunday in Houston. If this Texans defense, with that incredible secondary led by Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter and Jalen Petrie, along with that pass rush, don't be surprised if the Texans defense is able to force 3 turnovers and win a sloppy, ugly game, just like the Jaguars were able to do back in Week 3 when they won 17-10. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But let's hear from D'Amico Ryans, Texans head coach, ahead of this must-win game. What are his expectations for Davis Mills on Sunday?
What I expect from Davis is to do what he's done in the past. He started games in his league before, so it's nothing new for him. But it is a benefit for him being able to get the reps. Get the reps throughout practice, getting the walkthrough, getting every single rep that he can get, you know, getting on the same page with the receivers, getting the huddle, getting the snap count, all those little things, right, getting the operation down the proper way. He's done a good job of that. Today he did an outstanding job. Thought we were efficient in and out of the huddle. At the line of scrimmage, he did a great job of communicating. So I'm excited to see, you know, Davis go play.
Yeah. Taking command of the huddle in practice is a whole lot different than taking command of the huddle in the game. And like I said, I thought Davis Mills, he played okay. I thought he played okay on Sunday once he got into the game against that ferocious Broncos defense. I thought he did enough to help him win the football game. Now, again, Houston didn't even score a touchdown. They kicked 5 field goals. But Davis Mills helped lead 3 of those drives. They were up 15-7 going into the fourth quarter. And then the defense allowed the Broncos on back-to-back drives to go down the field, score a touchdown to tie it with the 2-point conversion, and then go down the field and kick a game-winning field goal. 15 points ain't going to cut it, though, probably on Sunday. Not scoring a touchdown ain't going to cut it on Sunday. And so the one thing that Davis Mills has going for him is that he is going to have Nico Collins. He is going to have Christian Kirk, 2 guys that have been banged up over the last couple of weeks. But Nico Collins came back from an injury on Sunday to have 7 catches for 75 yards. If he can do that against the Broncos secondary, he can do that and more against the Jags secondary. Christian Kirk also missed a couple of games in a row, and then he returned and had 4 catches for 26 yards. It's been a frustrating season for him, but the step up in production that the Texans had gotten in those couple of weeks where those guys were hurt, from their rookie receivers, Jaden Higgins, who had a touchdown in Week 8 against the San Francisco 49ers, Jalen Noel, who had a back-to-back games of 60 yards or more in Week 7 and Week 8. Like, this is the healthiest this receiving core has been all year. Still would love to get Tank Dell back maybe at some point this year. That's wishful thinking maybe at this point. But it's going to come down to how Davis Mills does under pressure, because he's going to be under pressure. This Texans offensive line flat out stinks. And you got Josh Hines-Allen, who's trying to break the Jaguars franchise record for sacks, who is a known Texans killer who killed them in Week 3. You're going to have Josh Hines-Allen looking to break Davis Mills in half. Josh Hines-Allen, who had a half a sack when these two squared off in Week 3. And so I hope Davis Mills is ready to deliver under pressure, because he's going to face a whole hell of a lot of it. That's right. And I know the Texans, they have altered their scheme over the last couple of weeks. They're starting to go with more offensive linemen, more 12 personnel to try to deal with the mediocre offensive line that they have. I still don't trust the offense coordinator, Nick Caley. I mean, I have been on the verge of ripping my hair out of my head in the games that the Texans have played in prime time this year, when you get a full scope of just how incompetent of a play caller Nick Caley is. And so just look, don't expect much out of the Texans offense on Sunday. is a game the defense and the special teams are going to have to win. And don't be surprised if Trevor Lawrence gifts it to them. Because I'm certainly not a believer in Trevor Lawrence either, and they've got their issues in the receiving department as well. More on Jacksonville in just a second, but I want to hear from Davis Mills, who spoke yesterday and said he is ready for the start against the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm ready. That's kind of how I prepare week in, week out. I've always had the mindset that, I mean, you could play at any given snap. Unfortunately, what happened to CJ in the game, I got thrown in there, but, I mean, that's what I get paid to do. Always be prepared, and it's nice having a full week of practice going into this game to attack this defense and go out there and lead the guys.
And I think his rapport with Nico Collins is going to be massive. Look, Jacksonville's secondary much better than they were last year, but they're still very much beatable. But you're going to have a couple of game wreckers coming at Davis Mills, looking to get some turnovers. I mentioned Josh Hines-Allen. Let's not forget Devin Lloyd. Remember, he had the 99-yard pick six against Patrick Mahomes a couple of weeks ago. Then he got hurt in the game against the Seahawks. He hasn't played since. Has not played since, but he is almost certainly going to return this Sunday. The guy's got four interceptions on the season, including that pick six for a touchdown. He's got a fumble recovery. Look out for Devin Lloyd trying to make a big play and maybe trying to make a bad Davis Mills pass turn into 6 points the other way. Here is Davis Mills once more. Like I said, that rapport with Nico Collins is going to be huge. Also with the tight ends, especially Dalton Schultz, who is banged up right now. He had a limited practice on Wednesday, but I'm expecting him to play. He had 77 receiving yards against Denver on Sunday. Here was Davis Mills on getting ready to work with all the options at his disposal.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, got drafted here with Nico back in 21. Have thrown a lot of footballs to him over my time. And then this offseason, when the rookies were new to the team, I got a lot of reps with them in the spring and during camp and built a lot of trust with those guys. So it's going to be good to continue working with them and spread the ball around.
And obviously, the run game is going to have to play a huge part, which it has rarely done this year. Nick Chubb has struggled to really get going this season, especially over the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's averaging 3 yards per carry. That is just straight up not going to get it done. And their young running back, Woody Marks, who they really like, their fourth round pick out of USC this past year, hasn't really given you a whole lot of confidence that he can step up and take over this running back room. He had less than 3 yards per carry on Sunday against Denver. I mean, a couple of weeks ago in that putrid loss to Seattle, he had 10 carries for 15 yards, and they kept giving him the football inside the 10-yard line. He kept getting stuffed. Like, that run game's got to get going. It can't be all on Davis Mills and the receiving core. But the one thing, and especially because the Jaguars, they have been super stout against the run this year. Third best rushing defense in the NFL. But they're beatable through the air. The Jags have the third best rushing defense. They've got the sixth worst passing defense. This is a game where you really would have loved to have CJ Stroud, but hey, such is life. Not going to play with a concussion. Davis Mills is going to have to turn in one of the best games of his career in order for Houston to get this win. But like I said before, and phone number to join is 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Don't be surprised if Trevor Lawrence gifts them this game. Because the last time these two squared off in week three, Trevor Lawrence went 20 for 40 for 222 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. And every single week, the more and more I watch Trevor Lawrence, the more and more I'm convinced that he might never win another playoff game. Not with Jacksonville. Might never win another playoff game. Trevor Lawrence on the season, in 8 games, has 9 passing touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That's brutal. Brutal. He has been so inconsistent throwing the football, and now Now they've got injuries in the receiving corps. Travis Hunter just had to go on IR for the knee injury he suffered in practice. Brian Thomas was not at practice on Wednesday. Hasn't missed a game yet this year. And remember, back in, I think that was week two, when Brian Thomas looked like he was afraid of contact against the Cincinnati Bengals, and then he ended up having a huge catch a week later in the win against the Texans. But Travis Hunter is out. He's on IR. Brian Thomas in danger of missing this game. Well, what do you know? At the deadline on Tuesday, the Jags traded for Jacoby Myers, and so you might see an instant impact, not only wanted, but desperately needed from Jacksonville's newest receiver. And the Jags have, look, it's not all been on Trevor Lawrence. Jacksonville is right near the top of the league in drops. Their receivers have not been reliable. I mentioned Brian Thomas early in the year with all those drops he had. Deami Brown has struggled to catch the football. Jacoby Myers has been one of the best in terms of not dropping the football in the entire NFL over the last couple of years. And now you got a guy that was starving to be a part of a winning team all season long, wanted to be traded by the Raiders. They finally traded him at the deadline. And look, he might see some immediate usage here. And he might be Trevor Lawrence's best friend on Sunday, especially if Brian Thomas doesn't play. It's going to be tough to acclimate him to this offense in just a couple of days, but they got to do it because they need somebody that is reliable catching the football. And Jacoby Myers has been exactly that over the course of his career. So don't be shocked. Jacoby Myers has a big game right away. But for me, you got two good defenses. Houston, an incredible defense. Like they have to force at least three turnovers in this game. Otherwise, I don't think the Texans can win it. I don't think the Texans can win it if they don't force three turnovers. And it's at home. It's in Houston. Energy Stadium is going to be deafening. And they've got to make life incredibly uncomfortable for Trevor Lawrence. Because your season's over if you don't win this game on Sunday. That's the harsh reality. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get to your phone calls. Lamar is in Michigan next up on the Pat Boyle Show. What's going on, Lamar?
Hey, what's up, Pat?
How are you, bro?
I'm good. I had a comment just about Draymond Green. I don't consider that. I guess that's just us Michigan talk. But I normally don't agree with a lot of stuff Draymond says. But this one, in a way, I kind of agree. You might call it harsh, you know, him calling him a bum. Mm-hmm. But it's just a simple fact of what regular season, yes. Like you said, regular season, you know, he's good. But what's the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is the playoffs, win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He's the highest paid quarterback that hasn't got to a conference championship game. So it's like the narrative, they always make the narrative just like Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. They don't put the defense in perspective. They just like, hey, Patrick Mahomes outdueled Josh Allen in the playoffs. But it's just a simple fact how the narrative be, it's always going to fall on Dak Prescott. Whether, yes, the Packers defense played good, but what's the narrative Dak Prescott versus Green Bay and Jordan Love? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, in the playoffs, it's a bum for you to be the highest paid quarterback, in my opinion. So that's the comment, you know, I just had to put on there. I don't consider it harsh. And sometimes I don't agree with what Draymond says, because sometimes he says some outlandish things, but
yeah.
This one I can kind of agree with.
Okay. Hey, Lamar, I appreciate the call, man. Let me ask you this. And I know that Dak's been in the NFL a couple years longer than Luka's been in the NBA. Would we call Luka Doncic a bum? He's never been further than the Western Conference Finals. Now, I know Dak's not even been to an NFC Championship game. But Luka's one of the highest paid players in the NBA. First team All-NBA, 6 years in a row? Before last year when he missed half the season with the injury and then got traded? Would you call Luka Doncic a bum? No. I agree Dak has underperformed in the postseason in his career. I just think there are... I still think bum is too harsh. And I think for, you know, in this era that we... that we're in right now, where all so many athletes have podcasts now, and you know, quite frankly, making it tougher for guys like myself to get jobs because that's kind of where the industry has trended. Hiring professional athletes. I mean, who knows the game better than them, right? That's fair in a lot of points. But I've seen Draymond Green get upset. I've seen other players get upset when TV heads, radio hosts like myself are critical, are harsh of players, right, when they don't perform. So for then Draymond Green to, like, use that same kind of rhetoric to call Dak Prescott a bum, I just think it's hypocritical. I think it's hypocritical, and I think it's, I do think it's too harsh. I'm not that I'm a Dak Prescott defender. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. I've said it earlier. There's not a lot of quarterbacks I trust less in January than Dak. But let's not act like he's never had a great playoff game. I gave you the game last segment. He sent Tom Brady into retirement, threw for 400 yards and 300 yards and four touchdowns, and they dominated the Buccaneers a couple of years ago in the playoffs. I don't think a bum is doing that. Let's get to Mike, who's in Dallas, next up on the Pat Boyle Show. What's going on, Mike?
Well, you know, the Cowboys got Trent and Williams just to satisfy old man Jerry.
Correct.
I mean, I guess he's got some new Netflix show or whatever.
Yeah, I think I that mean, came I out at the start of the or before the season started. But go ahead.
But I guess we got two first rounders for Micah, and I guess now they're trying to say that we turned it into Quinn Williams and that other guy, and then we got an eventual first-round picks. I mean, since when did the Cowboys be prospective picks? I mean, I thought we were winners. I mean, I'm not that old, but I heard the Cowboys used to be big-time winners. So what's going on?
Would you say when the Cowboys prospective picks?
Well, why are we – is Jerry going to die soon? Why are we trading for picks? We ought to be trading for players.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate the call. I can't tell you if Jerry Jones is going to die soon. I'm not Father Time. I'm not the Grim Reaper. I don't know. I know that Jerry did say on The Fan in Dallas the other day, he goes, I don't have much time left. That's kind of like what the reason that he's, you know, made these all-in moves. I don't know if you call it all-in, but close to all-in moves, trading for Quinn and Williams, trading Logan Wilson's the other guy that you were talking about, linebacker from the Bengals, good veteran linebacker that Cincinnati benched for whatever reason, even though I didn't think he was playing that poorly. The rest of the defense, you know, point the finger at everybody else on the defense. DJ Turner's been the only good player on the Cincinnati Bengals defense this year. But Logan Wilson's team captain, they benched him. I think he can help Dallas out a lot. But you say, why are we trading for picks? I mean, you didn't trade for picks. You traded for players. You traded for Quinn and Williams, and you traded for Logan Wilson. And you gave up a seventh-round pick to get Logan Wilson. You gave up a first-round and a second-round for Quinn and Williams. So I'm not sure what you mean, unless you're talking about the offseason trade where you traded Micah away. And that is, look, I'll never forgive Jerry Jones for that. I think that's a dumb trade. I blasted him from the start for doing that. Instead of paying Micah Parsons, they thought that their defense could be respectable enough without him. And Jerry was wrong for that. But I gave him credit yesterday, and I'm glad that the Cowboys were buyers. He's trying to dig himself out of that hole. And I think the offense is way too good right now to just give up on the season and be sellers or stand pat at the deadline. So I'm glad that they bought yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about. They didn't trade for picks. They did trade for players. Quinnen Williams is not a draft pick. Quinnen Williams is a player. Logan Wilson is a player. And I don't like the notion that people are saying, so you basically just swapped Micah Parsons for Quinnen Williams? No, not even close. Quinnen Williams is making half of what Micah Parsons is making, and you gave up a first round and a second round. You got two first rounds and a player when you traded away Micah Parsons to the Packers. You got Kenny Clark back. So I hate when people saying that. Oh, the Packers basically just swapped Micah for Quinnen Williams? No. Nope, $45 million is not $23 million, okay? Like, Can we do math? Can we count? And I was the first person blasting Jerry Jones for trading away Micah Parsons. But let's stop with the overblown, blowing stuff out of proportion. The Quinn and Williams trade was a good trade. Not only because it's going to help your defensive line this year, but it's also because you have him now for the next 2 years after this season. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll get back to your phone calls when we come back. And also, don't you just hate if you've got children and they play AAU sports or they're playing middle school sports or in high school sports? Don't you just hate those parents that never stop running their mouth and try to talk to the coach and try to advocate for their son to play? Well, what if I told you it was happening on an NFL team right now? I'll explain who and why this parent needs to shut the hell up when we come back. This is the Pat Boyle Show.
The party never stops. You're up all night with Pat Boyle on the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back to the show. We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment. You can hit us up on the phones at 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4476. You can also give me a shout on Twitter at PatBoyle44. I said before the break, you know those parents, especially if you have kids, and I don't, but I played AAU sports, played high school baseball, college baseball. And for those of you that have kids, or those of you that, you know, again, like me, played sports growing up, you know there's just some teams you're on where the parent of a kid is just so annoying. They think their son or their daughter, they think their kid is God's greatest gift to earth. They think their kid is going to play professionally when they're not that good. And in this case, the player I'm going to talk about is good. But there's just some parents who just, oh my God, they are annoying. And a lot of the times, they try to talk to the coach, try to be buddy-buddy with the coach, because they want their son or they want their kid to be, to have the ball, to bat cleanup, to be the quarterback, to be the star, the center of attention. I know we're on in 670 the score right now in Chicago. So if James Adunze, the dad of Rome Adunze, maybe he's listening because he searches Twitter for any and all comments about his son and retweets him every chance that he gets. If James Adunze is listening, I want you to listen clearly. I want you to turn the radio up or turn the volume up on your phone and listen closely here, James. Shut the hell up and stop being a distraction to the team. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Sunday, the Bears win that wild thriller of a game against Cincinnati, 47-42. Rome Adunze didn't have a catch. Now, if you watch back the game, if you watch the game, you can check out the highlights, you can search DJ Turner Rome Adunze on social media, and you'll find several clips. And it's why Rome Adunze didn't have a catch. The one respectable player on the Bengals defense right now is DJ Turner, the corner who shadowed Rome Adunze all game and, look, quite frankly, locked him down. Shut him down. DJ Turner might be an All-Pro this year. If not for the rest of the Bengals defense sucking so badly, he'd probably be getting the recognition he deserves. And so he shadowed Rome Adunze all day. And Rome didn't have a catch, and the Bears still put up 47 points and won the game. So why is James Adunze, his dad, on social media reposting people saying, can the Bears trade Rome Adunze to a team that will actually throw to him? Why is he quote tweeting that tweet and putting a pin, the pin emoji on it? Why is he then giving us Rome Adunze stats and then saying stats over narratives? Reposting other people saying James Adunze is right. Ben Johnson needs to get his son more layups. And then quote tweeting somebody calling him out and saying, Rome is my team. We get it. You love your son. Your son's having a great season. Rome Adunze, by the way, you act like he never gets the ball thrown his way. You know who leads the team in targets? Rome Odunze. You know who leads the Bears in receiving yards? Rome Odunze. You know who leads the Bears in receiving touchdowns and it's not even close? Rome Odunze. He had 7 catches and 114 yards the game before that against Baltimore. Did he get the football enough in that game? Week 2 against the Lions, he had 7 catches, 128 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He started the year with 5 touchdowns in the first 4 games. Did he get the football enough that, you know, in those games, Mr. Odunze? So I understand you can be frustrated if your son, you don't think he's getting the football enough in games that you lose. Because Rome Odunze has had a couple of games where he's only had 2 catches. He only had 5 or 6 targets against the Commanders, by the way, a win. Against the Saints, by the way, a win. And when there was 30-mile-an-hour wind gusts and it was tough for anybody to throw the football and the Bears executed the game plan against the Saints, it still won by double digits. But your son doesn't have a catch on Sunday and the team scores 47 points and you decide to go out on social media and make and stir up controversy. Try to divide the locker room. And who knows? Maybe the Bears players are in the locker room saying, Rome, your dad's got to take it easy, man. And maybe Rome's saying, yeah, you know, my pops is crazy. And, you know, I just, whenever he calls me on the phone, I say, yeah, you know, dad, it's, yeah. And I know you want me to get the ball more. Who knows? Maybe Rome Dunes, I'm sure he speaks to his dad. Probably speaks to him every day. I don't know the type of relationship they have. But if you can imagine James Odunze going out of his way on social media to say these things, what is he saying to his son when he talks to him in person or on the phone? A selfish wide receiver is the last thing the Chicago Bears need right now. They're winning football games. They put up 47 points on Sunday. I'm not saying Rome Odunze is going to start being selfish, is going to start getting an ego where he demands the football. And if the team scores 47 and they win and he doesn't have a catch, it doesn't, you know, he's not happy. I'm not saying Rome Odunze is that type of player, but his dad certainly is that type of person. And I like how the Bears social media team clapped back at Rome Odunze's dad. Like, this is how you, like, again, it's how you know it at least probably got to Ben Johnson. He probably knew about it. It was probably brought to the attention of the GM, Ryan Poles, to the point where the Bears social media team puts out a video of Rome Odunze highlights on Sunday of him run blocking. Because he was a great run. He's been a great run blocker. He did his job. Didn't make a single catch. Was great run blocking. And the Bears put up a highlight montage of Rome Odunze blocking for his teammates with the caption, selfless. Basically saying, hey, Mr. Odunze, why don't you kick rocks? And that's what I'm saying as well. It's one thing if the Bears are under 500, if Rome Odunze is not first on the team in targets, catches, yards, touchdowns. But he is all of those things. So stop. Stop being that annoying-ass parent that everybody hates. The one game your son's not the star and the center of attention. Stop. Let that be a lesson. Let that be a lesson. And let Mr. Odunze, Rome Odunze's dad, be the example of the parent that we all hate that comes to your kids' games and acts like their son is God's greatest gift to earth. All you had to do is repost highlights of your son being a great run blocker, which, I mean, who knows? Maybe the Bears don't even post that if he doesn't start this controversy. But I'll say it again to Rome Odunze's dad. Shut the hell up. 888-710-4ISN. Phone number to join the show, 888-710-4476. All right, we got a bunch of phone callers on hold here, so I was going to get back into some hoops talk, but you know what? I'm a man of the people. I want to hear from you. We got a lot of football callers that want to weigh in, so we'll get to your calls. We'll rip through some phone calls when we come back. Phone number to join, 888-710-4476. Don't go anywhere. The Pat Boyle Show returns after this next update from Marco Belletti.
You're listening to The Pat Boyle Show.
Welcome back to the show. Phone number to join, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got the great KP, the Dream, Chris Persianen filling in for Pete the Body, producing tonight, working the phones, doing a great job as always, covers the Knicks. Give him a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Chris Persianen. And if you can spell his last name correctly, you're smart. Off the top of my head, I'm going to guess P-U-R-S-I-A-I-N-E-N. And that's not off the top of my head because I was just looking at your Twitter, Chris. So.
Chris Persina? Persinen.
Let's get back to the phones here. Andreas is in Chicago next up on the Pat Boyle Show. Andreas, what's going on?
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
I want to talk about my Cowboys. I'm not a fan of these trades. If they were going to do the trades, I wish they'd done them a couple weeks ago when we could have used these players. Instead, we're sitting at 3-5-1, gave away draft picks. I understand Quinn Williams can be a good player for us, but I'd rather just kept the picks, to be honest. And watching the last thing, watching my Mavericks suck the way they do and Luka balling out with the Lakers, it's infuriating right now. That's all I have.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty frustrating, Andreas. And look, it's going to take time for Cooper Flagg to develop, and I appreciate the call. And, you know, he has struggled to create his own shot so far this year. And, you know, without Kyrie Irving, you're not going to see the best of Cooper Flagg. You need Kyrie to be back, and who the hell knows when that's going to be. Hopefully January, but it feels like it's going to be more maybe February or March at this point. But Coop has really struggled to shoot the ball so far this season. You know, I mean, to the point where he is shooting 31% from deep, and he's not even shooting 40% from the field. He's really struggling. He's really struggling. But you're seeing, you know, you see he's 18 years old. He's 18. All right, and he did just score 20 points back on Wednesday. Last night, in the loss to the Pelicans, right? The hapless Pelicans. And the Mavs have lost 3 games in a row. Like, what'd you expect? Like, this is why hundreds of thousands of Mavericks fans brought their jerseys back to the arena, fire Nico Harrison, because you had a generational player and you traded him away. But that being said, Cooper Flagg's 18. And once Kyrie comes back, I think Coop is really going to start turning it on. But yeah, watching Luka score 40 freaking points a game right now for the Lakers, it's got to hurt. On your point about the Cowboys, look, I get it wanting to keep the picks and hold on to them if you don't think that this team can make a push at the playoffs this year. And ultimately, if you don't win the Super Bowl, then what does it matter, right? If you lose in the wild card round again. But look, would you rather be in the playoffs this year or not? I think you probably would. Okay, and you got a really good player in Quinnen Williams. Is he the player that he was a couple years ago when he was first team All-Pro? No. Can he get back there? He could. Absolutely could. He made it known to the world he's frustrated. You think he was given 100% effort with the Jets? I don't think so. And so the way I put it is this offense for the Cowboys has been cooking, and it's been way too damn good to just give up on this season. So I'm glad Jerry Jones decided to go. And look, you got Logan Wilson for a 7th-round pick. That's nothing. So you gave up a 1st-rounder or a 2nd-rounder for Quinnen Williams. You can make the argument the guy's worth it. And so I think he's going to make an immediate impact on this team. I'm excited to watch him play. Let's go to Justin, who's in Georgia, next up on the Pat Boyle Show. What's going on, Justin? Justin, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, what's going on, man?
Hey-o!
What's up, brother?
Good morning, Pat. Good morning. Thanks for a great week of shows. Fun week. I get all my information from you guys in the mornings, going to the gym and everything before work and at work. Appreciate it. Triple P's awesome. I'm going to the races this weekend up in Charlotte, so I'll have some pictures of
You'll have some pictures of what?
Come on, help me out.
Boyle's Best Bites. So you'll have some food you're talking about?
Yep, thank you.
No problem, brother. And hey, I appreciate the call, man. I really do appreciate the compliments and you listening and being a loyal listener. That means the world to me, man. I mean, it's why I do it. That's why I do it. I hope a lot of people get as much joy out of listening and getting their sports opinions and their information as much as I love giving them out. And, you know, I love the fact that people have really grabbed a hold to the Triple P, Pat's Primetime Player. I give you four options every day. You vote who had the best performance in sports. I think there's something great about that. And then, yeah, the best bites, man. I hope you eat like a king this weekend. I really do. I hope you eat like a freaking king, and I can't wait to see it. Let's quickly get Thomas in Dallas here next up on the show. Thomas, what's up?
What's going on, man? First time calling with your program, brother. I'm an old Amy Lawrence throwback, you know. Been so long.
But yeah, hey, man, Amy paved the way, man. She paved the way for somebody like me to be able to have this show.
Yeah, that's my girl. I'm still driving trucks. But listen, with this new couple of picks that this had with Quinn Williams,
Thomas, I'm going to put Thomas on hold. We are up against it. That's my fault for taking him so late. We'll get back to Thomas next segment. If you can hold on, brother, I appreciate you. We got to run, though, because we're at the end of the hour here. When we come back, we're going to preview Broncos Raiders, and we'll get back to your phone calls on the Pat Boyle Show.